in the studio. I've got AJ Hecklin. Good morning, AJ. Can you talk morning. To me? See if it's all working.
It's all working. Morning, yeah. Aaron. How
good,
you going?
Good morning. I'm good. So, folks, we've just got AJ's piano here in the studio, and we've been trying to mic it up and get ready to do a live performance. AJ, you're going to be at the Old School at, is it 6 tonight? Or 7?
I thought it was 7, yeah.
It was 7, sorry, I'm just guessing.
So. Yeah, yeah, I've got to consult my manager on all those times usually.
Oh, yeah, hold on, I'm going to actually look. No, it says 6 here.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay.
Oh, 6:30, doors open 6, there we go.
Okay, sweet.
All right, thought I'd look up on the internet. On there.
It's lucky or I would have been late for my own gig.
Yeah, well, people would have waited, I think. There's already a bit of a buzz about you coming to town.
Oh, wow.
But just tell us, first of all, why have you got a piano with you?
Oh, gosh, well... I mean, I started a good 12 years ago now. I picked up an old piano from the dump that yeah. fit into my van. At that time, I was making a dismal living picking apples, but I started playing the piano in the streets.
Yeah.
And yeah, suddenly life was all roses. So,
was that, were you down in Queenstown? Was that where you were at that time?
Yeah, I was based in Maraho, actually, which is Abel Tasman National Park, top of the South Island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was playing quite a bit in the Nelson area, but I did start doing trips down to Queenstown because that's always been somewhere that's been really sort of close to my heart and really good busking.
Yep.
And yeah, and at that stage, I think... It was before the sort of resurgence or emergence, if you like, of street pianos. So people seeing, an acoustic piano with all the covers off in the street was already a novelty and, you know, people were sort of stopping in their tracks. Over the time that I've been doing it, it's become a lot more common to see pianos in the street. But yeah. usually the reason I carry my own is because I'm a bit fussy about the tuning and that sort of thing, the maintenance of the instrument. So
right. So you basically taught yourself to tune a piano with your old one, didn't you, which you found in a state of severe disrepair?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a wonderful thing about picking up something from the dump is, you know, you sort of got nothing to lose if you wreck it. So I got right in there and had at it. And yeah, like any skill, I suppose, you kind of quite quickly decide you're quite good at it, and then over the next decade or so, realize that you've still got so much to learn. The more you learn, the more you know you don't know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, piano tuning, it's a wonderful thing. As a bit of a dying art form, all of the piano tuners that I've met have been extremely generous with their knowledge and their time and even their tools and right. resources. So, yeah.
And do you get people asking you to come and tune their piano now?
Yeah, I do. And it's something that I'm a wee bit sort of, you know, I certainly don't put myself out there as a piano tuner because I haven't done an apprenticeship or anything like that. And there are piano tuners around who have, you know, done a lot of work to get where they are. But it's also the case that there are a lot of places where there are no piano tuners within, you know, 500 kilometres or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll certainly help where I think it's sort of appropriate. But if I know there's a tuner in the area, I'll definitely refer people there.
Mm-hmm. So you're travelling with your family at the moment. Van's parked outside the town hall here.
Yep.
Where have you been and where are you going after Raglan?
Well, yeah, so after Raglan, tomorrow Hamilton, I'm doing a concert tomorrow afternoon, so 3 p.m. in Hamilton, and then we're heading back up around the Coromandel and then a few locations around
You going up north or
no, we've just come from up north.
Oh, you come
sorry,
up from
I've
up
just
north.
Gone mind blank on
that's right, just yeah, parts of the North
Mount
Island
Manui and yeah back around that way, and then we're heading back down south. So yeah, so far we've come up the east coast. We spent quite a bit of time around the Gisborne area, a little bit of time around central, chunk of time Auckland and Northland. We're a bit unlucky with the weather in Northland. We were there for a couple of weeks and I think we got a couple of days where it wasn't raining, but had a wonderful concert.
I was up there about a week ago and the weather was pretty bad, so.
Yeah. Imagine like four people living in a bus in a week of rain.
Yeah.
And actually we're only living in half a bus, as you pointed out, because I've got my piano on the back. So
yeah, and that has to be. It was interesting watching it come out. I was looking out the window and I saw the ramp and the bus emerging and I thought, one person can't hold a piano coming down a ramp that steep, but you have a machine in there, a winch.
Yeah, yeah. No, the bus has been, we got it as a, you know, as a people mover bus, and I sort of customized it specifically for being a mobile home / music studio. So yeah, there's quite a bit of kit in the back, actually. I can do recordings out in the WAPs and stuff.
If people want to know more about that, you've got a YouTube channel as well. You can actually see the bus when it's new, and I had a quick look at that the other day. So
Cool. Yeah. That's been fun. I'm way behind at the moment. We
you got lots of footage that's not up there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. We actually had a bit of a rough run where the bus broke down, and at the same time we all got COVID. So we sort of thought we'll probably get COVID, we'll just retreat somewhere in the bus and it'll be great, but we didn't have the bus. And from that point on, yeah, I haven't actually updated the YouTube channel yet, but it's coming.
Is that how much of a big deal is that for you? Because you've got, I mean, one of your songs has got over 100, well over 100,000 views.
I mean, yeah, back in the day when I first started doing it, some of what I put up there would get picked up on compilations, you know, things like best street piano performance and that sort of thing. And yeah, I got up to over 2 million views on one of those. And that was, yeah, it was funny. I mean, I remember one day I went up to a little island in Fiji, and it was the second day walking on the beach, and someone was like, "Oh, you're that guy from YouTube." So it becomes a wee bit surreal. But yeah, I don't know. To be honest, I try to spend less and less time in front of a computer these days, and yeah, it sort of ticks over. I certainly don't, you know, really make any money from it or anything. I think my streaming royalties for all last year came in at about $700 or something. That's like YouTube and Spotify.
All right, that's everything combined.
Yeah, yeah. So no, yeah, I'm a firm believer in live performance, and yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, look, let's do some live performance. The piano's here in the studio, opened up. Do you want to reset the mics, and we'll do our best to?
Okay.
We're not sure that the mic setup's the optimum setup, but we've got something. So, and can you tell us just what you're going to play?
Sure. Okay. Well, wee bit of a backstory. There's a character that sort of popped up again when I arrived in Auckland, and a few years ago in Queenstown we started doing a music video project, shooting in all these different locations, playing the same tune. So I caught up with him again yesterday, and I'm going to play the same tune that I played for him. It's just called Camille's Theme. It's on my album Streets to Steinway.
Okay, cool. Thank you. All right, folks, stand by, and the mics are in place. Thank you. Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aaron, and we've got AJ in the studio, AJ Hickling. And remind us what that song was about. That was beautiful.
What was it about? Well, I was actually driving down to Queenstown one time, three under 8-year-old girls in the back, and I just bought a new car. And we're coming down the west coast. There's a big storm front coming up. The clouds were dark purple. You could see the rain hammering down. And blue sky still in the north. Beautiful turquoise ocean, waves just dumping. And I thought it would be a really good idea to stop and get some videography. It's another hobby of mine, and I collect video to put to the music. So we did that. The girls didn't want to stop. We stopped. We got back in the car. As the rain started coming down, the car wouldn't start. So it's kind of a memorable story. But I got the video, and it inspired the music. So.
And is all the music you play your music?
Yeah, all original stuff, yeah.
And can you track it back to the inspiration source, like all the type of music that you've built on?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my music is inspired by playing outdoors. And as I said before, I've been busking for a good 10 years. That's where the whole body of work came from, is just like different experiences. A lot of it's to do with the weather, the location, that sort of thing, the people. Yeah, I'm playing at a busy market or something, then really busy kind of happy music will be coming out. A big part of when I do my concerts, it's sort of half music, half storytelling, because pretty much every tune's got a big story.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's brilliant. That's perfect for what we're doing here. So how did you learn to play? When did you start learning and all that story? And are you trained or self-taught? Yeah. Or?
Well, I started playing when I was like, you know, knee-high to a grasshopper, as they say. I think my parents say that when I was 2 years old, I was already found the old piano that was down in the basement that nobody played, and just sort of started exploring it and finding the notes that liked each other, notes that sounded good together, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I always have enjoyed playing by ear and composing my own stuff. I did have some lessons, just wasted everybody's time. And, yeah, I could go on for ages about, like, in my opinion, the sort of intellectual hurdles and the disconnect that the standard sort of methods of teaching the piano introduce.
Yeah, well, I learned the piano as a kid, and I was playing music that was like one song was 400 years old.
Oh wow!
And I felt no relationship to it. Like it was that Royal Schools stuff, and I came out of that unable to jam or play music. Yeah. I'm not a musician.
Yeah. For me, I mean, trying to see a dot on a piece of paper and then think about what note is that and how long should I play it for and where is it on the keyboard? There's such an intellectual process there that's completely at odds with actually feeling and expressing music, which I think is a very intuitive feeling thing. So I've got about a 2-minute piano lesson, which I sometimes give to people on the street.
Yeah.
And I just say, you know, find a couple of notes that you like, see if you can develop a rhythm with them, and then just keep playing them, see if you can hypnotize yourself with just the most simple thing.
Yeah.
Until you get to a point where you start to imagine or you can hear a third note, and then try and find that one and bring that in. And, you know, and the next thing you know, you're starting to hear a melody and you can find that. And to me, that's a really sort of a natural way to explore music. So
I'm interested in use of the word hypnotize there, like you're getting yourself into a different headspace. Mm. There's almost like a shaman-like act going on, perhaps.
I mean, sometimes the most simple... Can I interrupt the dialogue with a bit of playing?
Yeah, go for it.
This is one of my favourite tunes, and it's just really like four notes repeated. Absolutely nothing at all difficult about it to play. It's just a few notes repeating in a kind of hypnotic pattern until it takes you somewhere.
Yeah, and that's roughly how you learned yourself.
Yeah, so, I mean, to be fair, there was a period when I was kind of, it must have been in my mid-teens, and I did some lessons again. I found at that point a piece of like quite sort of virtuoso music, which I sort of surprised my teacher by saying, I want to learn to play that. And, you know, I hadn't really improved and, you know, since I'd begun, I was a terrible student. But I found this one piece of music and I loved it so much. I was like, right, I'm going to learn how to play that. I had a recording of it. He got the music for me and I had to work it out, like, really painstakingly and memorize and yep. then I could start to play it, and I knew how it should sound because I had the recording.
Yeah.
Anyway, I put in the hours, and within like a week, I'd sort of memorized like 90% of it, and I could play it through without needing to look at the music. And then it took me a wee bit longer to sort of get the technique. But yeah, I got inspired. I practiced. A lot of my technique and sort of dexterity on the keyboard, I think, is owed to that little period where yeah. I briefly fell in love with classical music. And then
right.
and I still love classical music. I just, I didn't really enjoy being part of the classical music sort of scene as a piano player. It's a very competitive and quite a sort of, dare I say it, quite a sort of snobbish kind of a realm. I
found and is it, sorry. No, it's, is it the case that you have to play this way, like this is the right way to do it?
Yeah, I mean, a yeah. typical recital would, or a competition, which I also got into briefly, like, there'd be a whole room full of music critics, you know, and if you make one wrong move, ooh, you know.
You don't want to play to music critics. That's not what it's about.
No fun. Nobody yeah. was having any fun. So then I ditched the piano actually for a long time and started playing the drum kit, which is another huge love of mine, and played with several bands. And I didn't get back into playing the piano until my daughter, who's just turned 13, was born. And at that point I went from drums back to piano.
Okay. Hmm. Well, hey, let's play another track or another sure. song. I shouldn't call it a track because it's not recorded. what do you want to do next?
What should we do? Let's see. Okay, I'll just play another sort of shortish one. This one was inspired by the days that I spent when I was travelling with a touring circus. We were up in Whakatane playing up there, and I bought a little trimaran to live on because I never liked paying rent. So, I got a little trimaran. I sold it from Whakatane back down to Maraho, and this is like the music that was inspired by the tide coming in over the Golden Sounds down there.
Awesome. Thank you. Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show, and that is AJ Hickling playing there and playing tonight at the Old School Arts Centre at 6 o'clock. Doors open on stage or on the floor at 6:30. Careful! Hey guys, can you wait 10 minutes maybe? Sorry, the next interview is trying to get in the door, but we can't even get in the door because they bumped into the microphone. I have to say, I feel like for listeners, we're not doing the music justice because we've just got a couple of our studio mics pointed into the piano, and I think we can hear the mechanism moving a little bit. And
oh, well, you do what you can.
It's still sounding beautiful. I've had the headphones clamped over my head. It's still feeling beautiful. So
awesome. Thank you.
When you're playing like that, are you playing, is there an element of jamming? Like, is it different each time, or have you got the song worked out note by note?
Yeah, no, I always try to retain that freedom to improvise within a piece and really to change the feel of it depending on, you know, where I'm playing, what's going on, that sort of thing. That was like the short version. And as I said to you earlier, like some of my tunes, sometimes I'll just take off on a bit of a tangent and not stop playing for 20 minutes. So.
Yeah. No, that's the best stuff. I used to, when I was flatting years ago, I was flatting with some musicians, and I loved it best when they just jammed at home.
Feels more, I don't know, alive about it.
Yeah, there was no pressure on them to perform or do anything in particular for an audience. They just were doing what was coming from inside at the time. And yeah, I always loved that. And if people say to you, oh, what sort of music do you play, looking for a box to put you in or a pigeonhole to put you in or a genre, what do you say?
Yeah, I've never really got very good at that. I think I settled on something like emotive kind of, maybe romantic, hypnotic, things like that. Yeah, I don't know. What would you say? You've heard a couple.
I don't know. like I mean, there is. I don't know. I don't know much about older music. Like, there's a kind of an element of classical somewhere in there, and the roots of it. But then you are just playing in the moment for the mood. Stop. Next person coming. There's two people coming. I thought the other one would stay until the first one. We did well to get a piano in.
We better get it out of here, eh?
Yeah. I'm enjoying it. I like to do something different. Like, I'm in here every morning, and I like having people, and I like having music, and it's been really, really enjoyable. Do you have ambitions for a career? That might be a dirty word, the word career, but like, where do you see yourself going with it? You just keep doing what you're doing.
Look, I suppose I'm at a wee bit of a crossroads at the moment. Having done a decade or so of busking down in Queenstown and living very frugally through that time, I've gotten to a point where I've been able to afford a really beautiful home down in the South Island on the West Coast.
From busking.
I bused up a house.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's a beach house too. there's some really nice surf breaks nearby.
Excellent.
And COVID was an interesting time for just stepping back and thinking, right, do I want to keep doing this? I think this tour is partly about an experiment to see if I can transition from busking to doing concerts, if I can make that as lucrative. It's very nice. I'm enjoying playing in a listening environment compared to, you know, on the streets, everything is against you, you know. It's car alarms, cell phones, like just all manner of noises that can just come along and completely obliterate a really beautiful musical moment. So I'm enjoying the, you know, playing for a listening crowd. But I also enjoy about busking. I enjoy the fact that it's a challenge. I enjoy the fact that when you do win over a crowd, it feels really special. I enjoy the fact that the money I make feels like really honest money. It was all money that was freely given, because I've never really enjoyed marketing in the music industry. I've never enjoyed trying to put a value on myself, like a ticket price.
Yeah.
I'd much rather. And, yeah, by the way, like all of these gigs that I'm doing pretty much are free admission, but make a donation as you leave. So that gives me the opportunity to really like play my best to inspire people to want to support that.
So tonight's gig is like that.
It's like that.
Do you know what room you're in yet?
I'm sorry.
No, because I'm just thinking, like, you're going to fill it up like really quickly if you do that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's the thing. If I start under that model, filling up venues, then I guess I have to make a change and start charging an admission fee or something, because
or stay in the town for 10 days in a row. It's no.
And I've done that a few places, yeah, and really enjoy doing successive nights. The word of mouth that really tends to snowball. So that's, yeah, that's something I enjoy. Look, I just like, the other thing is, you know, I'm not trying to sell something. I'm not really trying to sell my music. What I'm trying to do is offer up my music. Mm. And so, yeah, doing the sort of busking model, it's like it's equally available to all people. Whether you make a lot of money or not very much money, you can come and share some music.
Are you going to do some busking here, or are you just sticking to the...
Well, I think I might, actually. I might wheel a piano down into town a bit later on. And we'll
you could actually, it would be quite... Visually, it would be interesting to see you doing it in the entryway to the town hall out there.
Just right outside,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, because it's like... it's from when you stand across the street, that, you know, it's the dramatic, symmetrical Art Deco form, and then you have a piano in there. And
photo opportunity.
It's like an echo chamber in that entryway. Okay. Maybe a bit overwhelming, actually. But
yeah, might be getting on the radio all day.
Yeah. Hey, folks, we've been talking to AJ Hickling at the Old School tonight. Doors open at 6, on stage at 6:30. And I hope they get a big enough room. I know lots of people already want to go. So thanks for coming in. And thank you for hauling your piano in here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, brilliant.